I'm just wondering. How many of you are wondering about something this morning? Did you know if you're a regular attender here, you've had opportunity to submit questions or ideas for things you're wondering about? And I've just been, it's been quite the menagerie, I think that's the right way of saying that, of things that have been coming. And I told somebody this morning, we might get to your suggestion like in about 2 years, because it seems like each idea starts turning into a series. And so you just keep wondering. We'll get there. But the next several weeks, we're going to be taking a look at sharing your faith in Jesus Christ with others. Why? Why is that important? Why would Christians share their faith with other people? What motivates us as believers to share our faith in Jesus Christ with those we meet and do life with? One of you were wondering, like, how do we do that? How do we share the good news of Jesus in an effective way, a way that brings about transformation in people? Workplace, family, neighbors, strangers. So in the next, like I said, next few weeks, we want to explore that in a variety of ways. And then we as elders have been studying the book of Acts over the last month, and that's our intent for the next few months. And just to begin to get a sense of the early church and see what we can learn from the early church in the New Testament in regards to leadership and multiplying and church life and being sent out, etc., etc. As we think about our own personal lives and the life of this family, this body called North Street Community Church, as well as the Church of Jesus Christ in our broader community and world. And there's just a number of themes that seem to permeate the accounts of the early church in Acts. Themes such as world missions. I think we have a sign out there on our wall so the whole world hears, right? With a map of the world. The providence of God, an inclusive gospel. Wow. Jews and Gentiles all around the world began to turn to Jesus in Acts. Everything from the poor beggar to rich Greek women. I don't know. Do we have any rich Greek women here today? So an inclusive gospel. Church growth and multiplication is a theme in Acts. The power of the Spirit of God. And I personally have just kind of been recaptivated by Acts 1:8. And it just seems like maybe that's the key verse to all that. And I wasn't even planning on preaching on Acts 1:8. And then I couldn't get away from it this week. And so we're just going to talk about that in a little bit in this context of how do we share our faith. Acts 1:8 simply says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus is talking to his followers. You will be my witnesses. Where will you be my witnesses? In Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what Jesus said to his followers before he ascended into heaven. Jesus is talking to us as well. You may have heard the expression, we're living in Acts chapter 29. Feel free to look at Acts chapter 29 if you want. Or feel free to just live in Acts chapter 29. In other words, Acts actually stops with 28 chapters, and we're still living in the Acts of the Holy Spirit until the Lord comes back, and we get to be a part of that. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the rescuer who purifies and cleanses sin with his righteousness, who has overcome death on the cross and has been raised to life. That Jesus says to his followers, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. Those of you who believe in me, those who have experienced new life and freedom in me. I love that song, Rescuer. Freedom from bondage, freedom from being caged, freedom from fear. You will be the ones who tell the world who I am. What does a witness do? Have you ever been put on the witness stand to testify about something? A witness simply tells what they know, what they've seen, what they've experienced. A witness simply testifies. Testify. If you need motivation to share your faith in Jesus Christ, it's right here in Acts 1:8. Jesus went into heaven to intercede at the right hand of the Father and prepare a place for his followers. Those that were left behind, we're still kind of left behind in a sense. We're still waiting for that glorious day. Jesus says simply to us, be my witnesses. Testify. Testify. Share your faith. Share what you know about Jesus. Share what you've seen Jesus do. And share what you've experienced. And just testify to that. Speak to that. That's all sharing your faith is. It's really that simple. You get to testify, you get to witness on behalf of Jesus. We can go home now, right? And go visit our neighbor. Just testify to what God is doing, what you see Jesus doing, what you know about Jesus, and what you've experienced in your own life. It reminds me the story of an old story of a Chinese farmer. I don't know if he was old or not. He probably was. But after having cataracts removed from his eyes at a Christian medical compound, he made his way to the far interior of China. And it was a few weeks later when the medical missionary, the medical doctor, was looking out the window of the compound and he saw this old Chinese guy at the front of a rope. And on that rope, there was a number of other blind Chinese people following along behind this guy who was once blind but could now see. See, they all knew that the farmer had been blind, and they knew he could now see. And he told them how the doctor had cured them, and so naturally all these blind people wanted to meet the doctor who cured them. The cured man could not explain the physiology of the eye or the technique of the operation, but he could tell others that he had been blind. The doctor had operated on him, and now he could see. That was all the others needed to hear, and they came to the doctor. Be a witness. Testify. Testify to what you know to be true. Lead people to Jesus. Lead people to the Messiah, to the rescuer. It's easy, right? Do you know what's so freeing about being a follower of Jesus and being a witness for Jesus? Look what he says. You will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not you. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ who lives in me. So we testify to what we know to be true, to what we've experienced, to what we've seen. And then it's not even on us. Because the Holy Spirit of God comes upon and lives in the believer, transforms us, loosens our tongues, actually causes us to experience more things that we can testify to. I loved watching that video last Sunday of 10 young people, many of them who are sitting over here today, getting baptized. What an awesome testimony. And they testify and talk to them about that, ask them about it. It's like, the Spirit of God is moving. I can testify to that. I see it. They experienced it. We experience it. And then Jesus encourages them with what? He tells them who to testify to. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He says, testify in Jerusalem. Testify in Jerusalem. Do you know where Jerusalem was? Yeah, kind of. It was the religious center. Jesus was crucified there. Jesus went before Pilate there. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. It was the religious center of the day. Jesus cared about Jerusalem right there where he was. This gathering happened in Jerusalem whenever he was actually telling them to be witnesses. Be witnesses right here. And then he says, go to Judea and Samaria. Well, Jesus had done ministry in Judea and Samaria. And think of the woman at the well in Samaria. A whole village had got saved basically because of the woman's testimony about who Jesus was. She had testified about Jesus. And Jesus is saying to his followers, you know what? Go back. Go back to Judea and Samaria. Like, A lot of them are believers already, but you know what? I've actually died since I've been there, and I came back to life, and they need to know about this. You guys have seen and experienced me, and they need to know about this. So just go a little ways out and remind people. Remind people who are already believers that I'm the rescuer, that I've risen from the dead. And then Jesus says, and go to the ends of the earth. In other words, go to places that I've never physically been. Go there too. So it's important right here at home. It's important to push out and remind people who are already believers, and then go to the ends of the earth. They have no idea about me. You guys have seen me. You've experienced me. You know what's true. And go tell them. Go tell them. One thing I love about the scriptures, it just keeps coming alive. And there's another little thing that just kind of recaptivated me. When Jesus gives the Great Commission, most of us, many of us know the Great Commission, go and make disciples. But we often miss the verse before. He says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when he saw them, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then he goes on to give them the great commission. I don't know about you, but if you wanted somebody to speak truth and testify and be a witness for you, would you ask somebody who had doubts? We usually throw them kind of witnesses out. And Jesus is entrusting the expansion of his kingdom to some people that actually had doubts about who he was. I mean, they knew what they had experienced. They knew what they knew to be true, and yet they had doubts. And Jesus says, that's a bad excuse. I'm going to commission you to go be my witnesses, to go testify for me. People who had doubts. I don't know about you. Does anybody here ever have doubts about things about faith and the word, and you're wondering what this is all about? Yeah? Are you honest enough to admit that? Yeah, we got a preacher over here nodding his head. And Jesus says to you, if you've got doubts, I got my spirit. I put it in you. I'm entrusting you with the expansion, with the testifying about me. Don't use your doubts as an excuse not to share your faith, not to be a witness to what you know to be true, whether it's in Jerusalem, which for us is in Canton, Troy, Leroy, did I say that right? Leroy, Ralston, Mansfield, East Smithfield, Granville Summit. I don't know where one stops and one starts. Those are your hometowns. Be a witness right in your hometown. Testify to what you know about Jesus and what you know to be true and what you've experienced. Do you have doubts? Sure. But testify. Testify. Be a witness. Maybe push it out a little further. You know what? There's people around the state or around the country that are already believers, and they've heard about Jesus so many times, but they need someone to remind them, to testify again who Jesus is. And they need someone to go somewhere where Jesus is not even known. You know, we can see God's heart in God's story way back, long before we came on the scene. God has a heart for people who are in despair. If you go back to Exodus, and people were in bondage and slavery in Egypt, and God took notice. God doesn't want people to be in bondage and slavery. And he took notice of those people in Egypt. Exodus 3, 7, and 10 has these phrases. I have seen the people's misery, God said. Some of us are in misery, or we've been in misery, or we have friends and family and neighbors who are in misery. God says, I see that. And he says, I've heard them crying out. Yeah, God hears. Maybe we don't hear the people in our community that are crying out, but God does. And he says, I'm concerned about their suffering. We see the heart of God for people who are in bondage, way back. And throughout God's story, it comes up over and over again. And then he says to Moses, this is at the burning bush, he says, I'm sending you. I guess I'll t- take time to do a little background. Do you know anything about Moses? Moses was a Hebrew child destined for death, become a prince of Egypt, became a murderer, spent 40 years alone, kind of just a recluse in the wilderness. God says, I want you. I want you to be my witness. I want you to go to testify to Pharaoh. I don't know if you have any excuses left. I don't. Just go testify to what you know to be true, what you've experienced. Last week, in talking about giving, Ben said, made a comment, he says, we give because we've been given. I guess my statement today is, we are sent because Jesus was sent. We are sent. Do you know it talks about being sent like over 800 times in the Bible? We are sent because Jesus was sent. Very familiar. Don't miss the message just because it's familiar. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to rescue, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Because Jesus was sent, we are sent. Not to condemn. If Jesus didn't come to condemn, then his witnesses, those who testify of him, didn't come to condemn. We're not sent to condemn. We testify to what we know is true about Jesus. We testify to what we've experienced, the freedom from bondage that he's brought in our life. That's it. We condemn ourselves. Jesus said that to the religious leaders. You condemn yourselves. We don't need to condemn. We come to testify to who Jesus is and what we know to be true and what we have experienced. Was God or Moses the rescuer? Who was the rescuer, God or Moses? God was the rescuer, not Moses. But God sent Moses to testify on his behalf. Are we or Jesus the rescuer? Are we or Jesus the rescuer? Jesus. But Jesus sends us to give testimony, to testify to what we know to be true, that he has rescued us. Because Jesus was sent, we are sent. Take that home with you today. Because Jesus was sent, we are sent to testify, to be witnesses.